Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Governor Gavin Newsom was on national TV this morning. He was talking about the upcoming election and mail-in ballots. President Trump had been tweeting about ballots and said that if mail-in ballots are used, this would be a rigged election. So here's the governor's comment on the Today Show after he was asked by host Savannah Guthrie about the president's tweets and the president's concerns.
The reality is mail-in ballots, absentee ballots, are well utilized all across the spectrum, all across this country, and have been done so thoughtfully and safely for a generation. I think the president himself has used mail-in ballot in the past. Our service members use them overseas very confidently and securely. There's been study after study, don't take my word for it, don't take the president's, study after study that just lays claim to no evidence whatsoever that there's widespread voter fraud. We want to prepare to keep people safe and allow them to have their constitutional rights protected, the constitutional right to vote, without putting their health at risk.
So the president had tweeted, "There is no way, zero, in all caps, that mail-in ballots will be anything less than substantially fraudulent." Twitter, you might know for the first time, put a fact-checking label on some of the president's tweets. One Twitter notice in blue at the bottom of the post reads, "Get the facts about mail-in ballots," and then it sends readers to a link about the president's claims. The governor, meanwhile, made an announcement yesterday that has been welcome news to millions of people in the state. Hair salons and barbershops were given the green light to reopen in the counties that had self-attested and had met the requirements of the variants. That is 47 of the 58 counties. And the reopening will come with modifications.
47 of the 58 counties currently have self-attested to having those plans of action in place. Along those lines, they will be able to add in barbershops and hair salons to those regional variations starting today. We've put those guidelines out. We put them up on our COVID-19.ca.gov website, and those counties will begin to allow for those kinds of operations with meaningful modifications, with the appropriate protective gear, particularly face coverings that are so essential in that environment, sanitation requirements, and the like.
Now on the phone from his office in Auburn is Fred Jones. He is legal counsel and lobbyist for the Professional Beauty Federation of California. Mr. Jones, thanks for your time today. Glad to have you on Insight. Welcome.
I appreciate the invite, Beth.
So nail salons are not included in this reopening, but does state licensing separate hair and nail salons?
So we do at an individual level. The State Board of Barbering and Cosmetology licenses about 600,000 individuals in California. And each of those individuals carry with them a specific license, whether it's cosmetology, barbering, esthetician, or manicuring. But our 53,000 licensed establishments, our salons and barbershops, they are not distinguished by services. So there is just one overarching establishment license given to each salon. So our state regulators have no ability to distinguish between a nail salon and a hair salon.
So here's my question. If a hair salon has this green light and is able to open, but it happens to be a salon where nails are also done, is a manicure in a green-lighted hair salon acceptable at this point?
Well, it's the very question that is the problem. The ambiguity of yesterday's, what I consider, rushed announcement leads to all sorts of problems. Our licensed cosmetologists, who receive 1,600 hours of formal education and training, primarily in health and safety protocols, incidentally, and cross-contamination, disinfection, personal cleanliness, they're licensed to do not only hair, but skin and nail services as well. So within each individual cosmetologist, there's going to be conflict and confusion. We think part of the reason why there's so much confusion is we think this decision, this rollout yesterday, was rushed. Why? Because on May 12th, we filed a emergency injunction complaint against the governor to reopen our salons.
Let me jump in there and say between May 12th and yesterday, there had been back and forth legal steps. And yesterday, if this change hadn't been made, the case or the injunction you filed actually would have led everyone to a courtroom in front of a judge, correct?
Yes. Friday, the court, the assigned judge down in Los Angeles, Federal District Court, asked both parties, the state and the Professional Beauty Federation of California, to file our final arguments, if you will, via a five-page brief in lieu of oral arguments. In this era of pandemic, that's fairly typical for our courts right now. So we filed our brief, the state filed their brief yesterday. That was the deadline. So today, the judge now has the case under submission and can make a ruling today. And so the timing of yesterday's announcement, I think, quite frankly, was an effort on the part of the governor's team to render our legal challenge moot.
Which it is right now, because salons can reopen in the certified counties, correct?
It's not, for a number of reasons. First of all, our industry association represents all 600,000 folks. We try to give voice to everyone in our industry. We do not pick winners and losers in our industry. The governor's order, unfortunately, does. It says hair salons and barbershops are winners. Nail salons and skin spas are losers. Worse, it says if you happen to live in a county that remains shut down, you can't open your business. But a couple miles down the road, across the county line, your competitors can. The 11 counties that remain shut down are, you know, small counties like San Francisco, Los Angeles, Alameda, Contra Costa. They represent 45% of the overall population of the state of California. So the governor has picked winners and losers.
Well,
and
can I just, before we go too far into that characterization, does your case before the judge include all counties across the state? So those 11 are included in what's before the judge today too, correct?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Beth. And we include all license categories in our industry. So we're trying to represent everybody in this lawsuit, not just hair salons and
okay.
not just barbershops.
All right. I'm trying to understand the legal effort that's ongoing. And I am curious about when before had this type of organization or lobbying or political coalescing happened in the beauty industry across the state. Does this situation stand alone?
It really does. I mean, the Professional Beauty Federation of California was formed back in 1999, and I was actually brought in 2000. So I've represented this industry for 20 years. I've never seen anything like this level of amalgamation of all sectors of our industry coming together. Now, I will say, Beth, that as an industry, we supported the original lockdown. The health and safety of our clientele, it's more than just our economic bread and butter. They're family to us. Its prime, most important priority is to keep our clients healthy. But after 2 months of the lockdown, the governor finally got specific in the end of April and laid out his four stages of reopening, put us in the third stage, and then clarified on April 28th that would be additional months, not weeks.
And that changed the game for everybody on shop owners and your industry, correct?
It did, because okay. at that point, our stylists were starving, our salon owners couldn't keep up with their rent, and there was a temptation for them to go underground and to start going house to house and kitchen to kitchen for their desperate clientele who are willing to crawl over broken glass every 6 weeks to get a color and a cut.
I will say that there has been some remarkable creativity, root touch-up kits being delivered, yes. neighbors who felt safe with each other, helping each other out. Thank you to my neighbors who did that. I have two statistical questions. How much money do you believe has been lost in this industry in California during the shutdown? And do you have a rough estimate of the number of shops or businesses that you don't think will survive?
Our industry probably in California is somewhere in the order of $5 to $8 billion annual industry. It's huge. 2% of every adult in this state has a license from our State Board of Barbering and Cosmetology. It's a huge industry. I receive hundreds of emails every week from salon owners who have said, I can't do it anymore. I'm done. It's rampant. It's all over. But it's only anecdotal. We haven't done any surveys or studies.
Do you have a guess?
I would guess at least 20, possibly 30% of our sole proprietorships, we call them booth renters, have gone under and will likely never come back. And I will say the vast majority of our businesses are owned and operated by females, and a majority of our businesses are run by minority ethnic groups. For example, nail salons are nearly 80, 85% Vietnamese owned and operated, first generation immigrants.
So, Fred, it's interesting because the Restaurant Association is also running roughly around that number of a 30% prediction of the number of restaurants in the state that might not make it through. We will watch this and continue this conversation. I want to thank you for your time. I think you know that we have some shop owners from Folsom standing by. So for now, Fred, I'll say thank you for your time. I appreciate this conversation.
Yeah, and the Cromwells will be able to tell you what 53,000 salon owners have had to tolerate the last 2.5 months. Thank you for your time, Beth.
That's Fred Jones, legal counsel and lobbyist for the Professional Beauty Federation of California. The Cromwells are Jill and Larry Cromwell. They own 3 locations of Marabu Salons in Folsom. Hi, Jill. Hi, Larry. Thanks for your time today.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
So, Jill, let me start with how soon you think you'll be ready to reopen any or all of your locations.
Well, it was really fast notice, and we have tons of paperwork to do. We are moving all the furniture. We were there until super late last night. We'll be back there all day today. We will be lucky to be in Monday, but we're working really hard to get in by the weekend.
So there needs to be distance. There is a mask requirement. There is sanitation. There might be prompting if you wait in your car for when your appointment time is. How is all this flow going to go? What's most important for customers to know?
Oh, the most important thing to know is we are spending a lot of time right now reading all the guidelines and have full intentions of following all of them. And, you know, everybody ever since they've been out of school has already been sanitizing properly. We spend over 1,000 hours in school learning how to do that. So we will continue to do that as well as adding all the new guidelines. We'll all be in masks. We have thermometers. Everything. We do have that stuff ready to go.
Larry, I realize that you have worked on an advisory council with the organization that Fred has and were involved in this lawsuit. But what's the impact been on your businesses and your life from the shutdown?
Well, specifically, I mean, these last 2 months have been probably 2 of the harder months for us. I feel like as owners, we kind of got put in a different position than kind of everybody else because just like our instance, you know, specifically when we shut down, we still had 2 payrolls because of timing that we had to pay. And our payrolls run about $100,000 per month. So immediately we had to drain all of our business and personal accounts and then run up our credit, you know, to unbelievable amounts. So the stress from trying to recover from that initial situation was really hard. And then dealing with landlords who are stuck in a tough position, it's just been a nightmare.
So I want to ask this question of both of you, and Larry, you can start by answering about the health situation. And the governor over and over has said that decisions are being made by data and evidence and health statistics. He put salons in that phase 3, and he continued to say so because of that one-on-one risk or the close proximity and the potential for transmission. Larry, what about that aspect of all of this and what your thoughts are now as you're on the brink of reopening?
I'm not a medical professional. I have talked to quite a few medical professionals about their thoughts on it. And
I do feel like the respiratory droplets are something that we can protect against. But again, I don't know, you know, using the masks and the proper social distancing. And I've had other doctors specifically say that they feel the same way, that they think that if we follow the guidelines that we could be safe, that we could be as safe as, for instance, a dental office or a, you know, a plastic surgeon. So I think it's like, it's at that point, it's just a matter of how does one industry get chosen to be allowed to be open and then another not. And then, you know, I hate to get down to our personal situation, but we were just really hurting financially. So, you know, when it's one side can open and the other can't, you start thinking, well, we got to figure out how to get it done and make sure that we can open.
Jill, what are your thoughts about that, about the health and safety matter?
Well, that's definitely top priority. We embraced the shutdown, and we have our kids home, and so there's definitely a worry there. But like Larry said, we've talked to many medical professionals, and we intend to follow the guidelines. I also can't imagine that it would be less safe than going to the store where there's tons of people near each other and breathing on each other. So it does feel like we're kind of a singled out industry to me.
Although
we can keep people safe.
I will tell you that when I think about tipping my head back at the washbowl to have my hair washed, I do know that the person washing my hair might be above or right over me, and I'm not going to be in that situation in a grocery store. So I do think there is some difference, and I understand adjustments will be made. But are we at the point that you have to have a face covering to go to a hair appointment? Are you expecting every customer to come in with some kind of mask or face covering? Jill?
Yes, that is part of the guidelines. That is a requirement that both our staff as well as clients will have to wear one. So we will have some provided or people can bring their own.
Okay. And are you going to use the system of wait in your car until you're called or texted to come in for your appointment?
Yes, we are.
Okay. Well, I thank you both. I know it's been a long road, and it's not done yet because there's still the unknown about whether customers come and how much they come. So I look forward to hearing that part of this transition, too. Can we talk again?
Yes, please.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you both, and good luck with the reopening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Jill and Larry Cromwell. They're the owners of Marabou Salons with three locations. They are in Folsom. We'll post a link to their website at capradio.org/insight. All the specific rules about the reopenings, all this information is at covid19.ca.gov. That's the statewide website for COVID-19 information in California. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. The Uplift is next. Sacramento artist Karen Halverson wants to share some of the treasures that she's been creating during her stay-at-home time.